In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. There's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money that's the problem. There's nothing wrong with money. At the same time, I suppose we ought to say the opposite, that there's also nothing right about money, money in itself, for it will eventually fail. The question is not about money, but about how and for what you use it, or it uses you, and the true riches of the gracious God of our life and salvation. Those were prosperous times when the prophets Isaiah, Hosea, and Amos were sent by God to preach his word. I suppose, in many ways, it was like these days of our prosperity. Prosperity, like money, is neither good nor bad in itself. When prosperity encourages invention, progress, and growth, then it's good. Let the good times roll. I had that written in French, but I'm not really good at French. More often than not, however, prosperity tends to make people more self-centered, more careless about others, selfish. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. It is rather your use of it that can be good or bad, right or wrong. But what is right? And what is wrong? Who's to say? We don't know. It depends on who you're asking. It seems that these days there's a great confusion about truth versus falsehood, good and bad, right and wrong. It's all relative, you see. What's true or good or right for you may not be so for me. How easily in the business world are corners cut, quality shaved, and even false claims made, all in order to increase profit. That's what this little snippet from Amos chapter 8 is all about. Good or bad, right or wrong, is ultimately determined by God's word. You can either listen to it or ignore it. Those who, as our text says, trample on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, were always and only concerned with business, their business. According to the just decrees of God's word, they weren't supposed to be open for business at the new moon, the beginning of each new month where everyone was to bring an offering to God, or on the Sabbath when no work was to happen at all. Remember, maybe if you're old enough, when businesses years ago in our own country, much less school sports schedules, were not open or in business on Sunday mornings or on the church night of Wednesday night? It's an increasingly amazing oddity today that a company like Chick-fil-A is still closed on Sundays. The problem of those whom Amos was indicting was that their mind was not on God, so as it should have been, but on their business, as they complained, "When will the new moon be over that we may sell grain? When, and the Sabbath that we may offer wheat for sale? When will the sermon be over? How quickly can we get out of here?" But it's even worse than that. For even when they were conducting the otherwise valid business, God revealed their sin of cheating people, either by making the measurements small or overcharging, or even mixing worthless chaff into the grain they were selling. The word of God's law and judgment Surely I will never forget any of their deeds. Now, this text was chosen as an illustration of that to which Jesus was speaking, of which Jesus was speaking in today's gospel, in the parable of the so-called unjust steward. For the key to understanding this otherwise unusual parable is in the attitude the steward had between his previous business dealings and now the expectations and heart of his master. He knew and counted on his master's graciousness and wanted everyone else to know it too. There's nothing wrong with money. It is the love of money that's the problem. Sin is the problem. It's the love of God that is the answer. And that's the key. As when the steward called all of his master's debtors in and had them reduce their debt, they figured he was just doing the master's will and that it was this generous master who was letting them off the hook, at least a little bit. What a great guy, the master! Of course, that wasn't exactly the case. Or maybe it was. Like Donald Trump in his former life on television in The Apprentice, this master had no problem telling his unjust steward, "You're fired." And yet this master was truly the master, and his steward knew it. The master commended the dishonest manager for his shrewdness. I mean, everyone came away thinking the master was a great guy. Only he and the steward knew it was the result of, well, a shrewdness, dishonesty. But the issue here is not your dishonesty, your sin, or your intentions. Guess what? Your dishonesty and sinful intentions are also covered by the goodness, the graciousness of your master, who's intent on receiving you into the eternal dwellings. And so it is that we walk a thin line in this world, faithful in a little or in much, dishonest in a little or much. Who is your master? When the saving and loving God is your master, you will serve his grace. Sometimes his grace will even seem dishonest or unfair in the eyes of the world. The world that demands that everything be even, Stephen, tit for tat, fair from our point of view. But our point of view is tainted by sin. The grace of God at times may seem unfair, unjust. And yet the grace of God is the only answer. For according to his own justice, we are guilty, shrewd, dishonest, sinful. But in his grace, he sent his son to become guilty for us in righteousness, to bear our guilt, to take our sin away. From our point of view, Jesus became the unjust steward who told us to count our debt to God as nothing when he bore it all in his body on the cross. Was that unfair? No. That was love. Because he became sin, bearing all our unrighteousness. All those who believe in him become the righteousness of God. It may seem unreal at times, unbelievable sometimes, but Jesus said it. The servant of the Lord, Jesus, loved the Lord, his master, and served him whose will it was and is to save us. As the debtors of the master, so we rejoice. Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Midst flaming worlds in these arrayed, with joy shall I lift up my head. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.